GeekArchives.com presents G8 and His Battle Aces magazine from June 1937. Flight from the Grave, the 45th adventure of G8 and His Battle Aces, as told by G8 to Robert J. Hogan. Read by Nick Santamaria. Out of war-torn skies of World War I flies G8 and His Battle Aces, the greatest combat pilot of that hellish conflict. G8's true name was stricken from all official records so that he could fight the most evil minions of the German Kaiser without the restrictions of the laws of war. Piloting a souped-up SPAD warplane and backed by his wingmen Bull Martin and Nippy Weston, G8 blazed his name across weird battle skies history never recorded. Mad scientists, zombies, werewolves, vampires. These were the unholy allies of Imperial Germany, whom G8 engaged over the blood-soaked trenches of the war to end all wars, in frenzied dogfights straight out of hell. And now, G8 and His Battle Aces' thrilling adventure, Flight from the Grave.
Chapter 1. The Dead Speak. Three SPADs flying in a tight formation romped down at the north end of Le Bourget Field near Paris. In the lead was the SPAD of G8, the master spy. To the right of G8's tail came SPAD number 7, the plane of Big Bull Martin, former All-American halfback. Bull was naturally superstitious, hence the number 7 on his plane to bring him luck. In striking contrast was the number of the other plane that formed the tight V formation. Little Nippy Weston, the terrier ace, sat grinning in his cockpit, and on the side of his fuselage was painted brazenly the number 13. Nippy defied death and invited danger on the earth and in the sky with that characteristic reckless grin. The three SPADs landed as though they were guided by one expert hand. With a roar, they blasted up to the end hangar and stopped, their motors ticking over evenly. Nippy Weston flipped open his safety belt, stood up in his cockpit, stretched and yawned.
"Jumping Jupiter," he said. "If we don't get any more action than we've had lately, I'll have to take shots in the arm to keep awake. The war's getting to the point where there isn't any more action in the air than there is in an old lady's home on a Sunday afternoon."
As the three strode toward their apartment, he demanded of the master spy,
"Listen, G8, how much longer is this going on? We're supposed to be fighting a war, aren't we?"
G8 shook his head a little sorrowfully. "Yes," he said, "we're supposed to be." Big Bull Martin's booming voice cut in.
"Yeah, but if you ask me, what we've been doing lately isn't much more than murder. Look at that 5 Fokker flight this afternoon. We catch 'em coming over our side of the lines, hop on their tails, and they turn around to run, and we ride 'em back. They split up, and we each take one, trail 'em down, and finish 'em. There wasn't enough fight in that to keep a fellow's eyes open. They're slowing up. They don't scrap the way they used to."
They were in the living room now. A look of revulsion spread across the master spy's features. He lighted a cigarette and savagely flung the match into the fireplace.
"Something's got to be done pretty soon," he said. "I, for one, am not going to keep on fighting the war this way. Why, those three Germans that we killed this afternoon didn't put up any fight at all. I've been wondering since if they had any ammunition in their guns."
"They must have been able to fight back if they'd wanted to," Nippy countered. "At least none of them asked for any sympathy."
"The thing I don't like about it," G8 went on, "is that the whole outfit seemed like a bunch of kids, just out of training school, who didn't know what it was all about until our slugs finished them."
He hung up his helmet and goggles and sat down in his easy chair.
"I think, gentlemen," he said, "that before many days Germany is going to ask for an armistice. Most of their great aces are gone, and their air service consists mainly of green youngsters, fresh from training fields."
Odors of cooking food came from the kitchen. The swinging door opened, and Battle, the gaunt English manservant, peered through the door and bowed.
"Good evening, gentlemen," he said. "I trust you had a successful flight."
Then, without waiting for an answer, he rambled on.
"And did I hear someone say that the war would be over shortly?"
G8 nodded. "Yes, Battle," he admitted. "I'd be willing to bet on it."
"Oh, I say, look here," Battle beamed.